Welcome to Have You Heard. Have You Heard is a weekly discussion with musicians and people that just love music, where we get to ask you, hey, have you heard? Each week, Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer will discuss their favorite music or the music other musicians and artists simply couldn't live without. Find and explore new favorite music you didn't know you loved with hosts Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer. Welcome to Have You Heard. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, Rich Dole.
I'm Matthew Altizer.
Matthew, how are you holding up with the social distancing?
I'm doing good. I'm not having to talk to a lot of people, and
You're ready for
I
this.
I should try to distance a little further from my family every once in a while, but yeah. You know.
Because we have these moments my mind, while
we,
man.
Yeah. Well, losing luckily it. We have these moments where we get to, you know, record our show and, you know, talk to people outside of our family.
Mm-hmm. Now,
like tonight,
we have a great interview.
We do.
When we talked with the featured artist for tonight, Miss Connie Hahn, a spectacular piano player and composer and arranger. It was a lot of fun talking with her from her home in California. But, you know, I wonder, like, sometimes, because I do you ever listen to the show when it's on the air, actually?
Is this a trick question or should I answer?
Answer honestly, because I have.
I do.
You do? Okay.
Maybe once every month I'll remember, oh, yeah, I'm on the radio. I should listen to it.
Well,
and so I do for a hot minute, and then I stop and go back to reading or whatever I'm doing.
Right. Well, that's the key, is remembering, because we've already done this show. We've lived with this show.
Yeah,
we've
exactly.
Listened to the music for a while. We've talked to the people if we do an interview. And so by the time the show gets sent out to the station, we're done with it. And I very rarely remember to listen to it. But I wonder, do you think our families, do they really think that we're doing a radio show, or is it just an excuse for you and I to go down to our respective basements and talk?
Probably a little of both. Now, I have to be honest.
Okay.
I have been questioned, been put through the ringer on this exact topic by my wife, my lovely wife, who I love very, very much. She has asked, man, you guys are like doing a lot of radio shows lately. Or what, you know, what's going on? Why aren't you just up here hanging with me? So I did have to answer that. But, you know, I was truthful. We are, you know, we're lucky in that we're interviewing a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
And we're putting those interviews together. And
yeah.
So, yeah. How about you?
You know, I've never thought about it until just now that there might be some question of validity. Like, oh, you're going down. Oh, another interview. Okay, fine. Whatever. And then because I never remember to play the show when it's on, it's always like, I wonder if they ever think, like, sure, you have a radio show in air quotes, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Or maybe they're thinking, thank God they're doing another radio show so I can get them away from me.
Yeah. Hey, don't you have somebody to interview? There's got to be some imaginary person you're interviewing.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, this week we did not interview an imaginary person. We interviewed a real person, a really great piano player. Her name is Connie Hahn. And
yes.
You can find more information about her at conniehahn.com, conniehahn.com. And she has a new album out called Iron Starlet.
Yeah, and second album off of Mac Avenue Records for her.
Yeah, and it's really good. It has a really stellar lineup.
It does.
Ivan Taylor on bass, who I'm not familiar with yet, but I really like his playing. And Bill Wyszaski on drums, who's also kind of the producer and a writer. He wrote a few of the tunes on this album. Connie wrote half. I think he wrote half or something like that.
Yep.
And then it has Jeremy Pelt on trumpet.
Yeah.
Which is, man, he's just, he's killing. Man, he's just really great. And then the former IU saxophone professor Walter Smith III on saxophone.
Yeah, and he's awesome too. He plays with Ambrose Akinmusiri all the time.
Yeah, they're both like, I think it's really interesting when you have unique voices, they tend to attract other unique voices.
Yep.
And they don't get in the way with each other, and they don't, one doesn't dominate. Obviously, she's going to dominate this album because it's her album, right? she also is writing in a way that is a compliment to their playing. She knows what they can do, and it comes through. And it's just a very, really well-rounded, fine album. And man, I'm really happy that we got to talk to her.
And the other nice thing, and you and I have talked about this offline, and we talked about it with her as well in the interview that's coming up. It's steeped in the history of jazz.
Right.
And that's really exciting. It doesn't sound like some historical document of, you know, jazz of the past, but the history is there, and she's giving homage to it in such a lovely way.
Well, it's such a hard place to get to. Anybody can play like somebody else. If you listen to them and transcribe them, you can cop somebody else's style pretty easily, but to hint at it while you're playing your own thing, I think is at it. That's the next step, or the few steps way, or many steps beyond that, just imitation. So she's clearly on her way. And the fact that she's younger, she has a long way to go. And it's pretty exciting that, you know, we get to listen to her stuff now, and we got to talk to her. So hopefully, as she gets more and more famous, she will still talk to us.
Yeah. Well, we've talked enough about it. We should actually play some of her music so people can kind of get a taste before we get into the interview.
All right. Well, let's play the title track. The first two tunes here, Iron Starlet and Nova. I think these two tunes really kind of demonstrate the velocity and the technique that everybody has in this band, but also kind of the space and more of the communication skills, shall we say, for lack of a better word, between these great musicians. So from the album Iron Starlet, this is Iron Starlet and Nova. Tonight on Have You Heard, it's Connie Hahn.
Thank you.
two songs from the brand new Connie Han album that's releasing in June. First song was Iron Starlet, and the next tune was Nova. I am Matthew Altizer.
And I'm Richard Dole.
You're listening to Have You Heard on WICR 88.7 and found all over the world through various internet means. Thank you for checking us out. And man, Connie Han, what an amazing player. And this album is just awesome.
It really is. The full album comes out June 12th. The full release got pushed back a little bit because of everything that we're going through right now. And she is a Steinway artist, which is pretty amazing.
Yep.
We'll remind you later, but on May 9th, she's doing a quarantine concert. I know May 9th sounds like it's 3 months away. It's actually coming up pretty quickly. May 9th, she's doing a quarantine concert. So you can go to conniehan.com for more information about that. For more information about us, you can go to haveyouheardjazz.com. You can find us on Facebook at Have You Heard Jazz, or shoot us an email, hyhjazz@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think about Connie's playing, because we totally dig it. And after talking to her, it's just like, am I cemented now? Not only do I like her music, I like her.
Yep, I would agree.
All right. No, it's just like, there's so many young players that have such great chops, and they just, after like, I don't know, 4 minutes or less, I'm like, okay, play me something that I can sing, you know, or that, you know, let me latch on to something. And it's not, she has those chops, but she doesn't do it chops for chops sake, if you know what I mean.
And, oh yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's something that we both appreciate quite a bit.
Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. She has a voice, and it's not just the chops. It's, she knows how to put it all together. She's pretty much a complete package when it comes to playing.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, we are going to play another tune, and this is a fun tune called Captain's Song. And right after that, we're going to jump into our wonderful interview with her. And the interview was freewheeling. It was a lot of fun, and I would like to think that Connie was comfortable talking with Matthew and I, right? You would agree with that, Matthew?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Hopefully she would agree as well.
Yeah, and you know, she had just some really great curse words thrown in there at absolutely appropriate times, and it made sense. But as it was happening, I was thinking, oh boy, I'm going to have to go back and cut these out. I don't want to stop the interview. And I know, Matthew, you're probably thinking the same thing. Like, we can't stop this. This is like a good flow.
And oh, yeah, definitely.
Get a good flow over the internet and four time zones or whatever. You don't want to stop that. So with Matthew's suggestion, I recorded a whole bunch of trombone plunger stuff and just dropped a few in. So I hope it doesn't sound too comical. We absolutely respect Connie and her music, but to cover up some of the curse words, you know, some of my artistry was dropped in our conversation. That's right.
Does this allow you to say that you've now played with Connie Han?
No, not at all.
All right.
Not at all. So, so just keep that in mind. And, if it's too much, I will take it out for the final podcast, which you can find at haveyouheardjazz.com. But for now, let's listen to Captain's Song, and then we get right into the interview with Connie Han right here on Have You Heard?
Thank you.
And we've been listening to the music of Connie Hahn all evening long. I know you've been enjoying it, but you're probably wondering, my goodness, how does such a great album come about? And you know what? I'm going to ask her exactly that. Connie Hahn, welcome to Have You Heard. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. This music is spectacular. It's really great. Can you just tell us a little bit about your history, your past, and how this all came together?
Yeah, I grew up playing music, but it was really far from jazz and creative improvisation. I grew up playing classical piano, which laid down a pretty thorough technical foundation that, of course, I've actually had to revisit recently, because when you get more mature as a creative person and you're trying to polish your voice with more nuance, you want to have the fullest range technically and also conceptually. So that's a tangent, but yeah. Yeah, I grew up playing classical piano, so I've been playing the instrument since I was 5, brought up by my parents, who were both pretty strict classical musicians as well as Chinese musicians. But I had always had an instinct for wanting to be super creative and spontaneous within an idiom that, I mean, I found to be jazz. And it really just spoke to me when I discovered it, which was around like my early teens. I always knew I was going to go into art. So I auditioned for the Los Angeles County High School for the Arts when I was like 13 or 14. Got in for not jazz, because I had no jazz background at the time. I was actually doing classical piano and voice. I don't sing. I will never sing. Do not ask me to sing. But I did get into the school for voice. So I got in, and at the time they had an exceptional jazz program for a high school. It was comparable to like any conservatory. It was pretty crazy. And I just, you know, I'm a very aggressive person. I'm very proactive when I want something, and I knew I wanted to like study jazz seriously after being exposed to some classic albums, Kind of Blue, The Big Beat, etc. During like one of the jazz improv classes that I took upon myself to learn, and it sort of just went from there. And you know, I don't consider my story to be particularly spectacular. I consider myself to be a very hard worker, and I've always prided myself on learning as much as possible and learning the language, the repertoire, and the culture behind this music, which I took upon myself around 14. You know, the biggest thing that I realized when I was that young was that just because you have chops doesn't mean you can play jazz. It's amazing like how many world-class classical pianists there are out there who like are exceptional musicians and exceptional technicians, but when you hear them try to play a swing beat, it's freaking backwards and not fun to listen to. And you know, like that was something I was aware of instantly when I was at that age, and I was like, I want to learn the art of rhythm, the art of groove, and the art of, you know, playing the language of the style without an accent, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's very insightful, especially at such a young age. You know, I'm a jazz trombone player, but I also do a lot of orchestral work. And, you know, my quote is like, every time an orchestra swings, an angel dies, you know, because it's just, it isn't easy. And yeah, people are great technicians, but it's not always transferable. And one thing I hear in your playing, if I may be so bold to say this, is that obviously the technique is great, and I was assuming there is a classical background, but there's also an underlying hint of musicality and knowledge of the history of the music that you're playing. And so it doesn't sound like chops for chops' sake, which
there's a ton of people like that out there. But it's also, when I'm listening to it, it sounds very, the chops are there when it's there, but then it's also reserved in a sense at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Thank you. Yeah. At the forefront of my musical philosophy is authenticity and, playing the music from an honest place that is, that keeps the integrity of the art form intact. And like, I feel like I was able to realize that vision at least more than I did on my previous work, which is pretty common among artists. You know, we always try to improve upon like our past work, but you know, I'm always trying to like sculpt even closer to what I want, which is just playing this music right. You know, that leads me to another tangent where like, I feel like because in the history of jazz, you know, Miles Davis and Herbie Hancock, they've become notorious for innovating and being original, which is necessary to keeping the music alive. But like, I feel like so many people take that philosophy to heart so seriously to the point where it's like being original, sacrificing quality, you know what I mean? Like deconstructing language just to do it. Like, I mean, that goes into another thing where it's like postmodern art, right?
Right.
Or like you want to be original, so you tear down everything and you tear down like being able to like render like realistic images because you want to say something with like fine art, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that it's important to like push the boundaries and be there because like, you know, everyone has their own individual voice. Like, no matter how hard you try, you're never going to sound like Mulgrew Miller. No matter how hard you try, you're never going to like sound exactly like Kenny Kirkland, you know? So it is important to like be original, but at the same time, you can't just say, I want to be original and I want to, you know, make my, like, mark my, you know, here in jazz and play something that no one's ever heard before. But then at the end of the day, it's like, does it really say anything to the larger picture?
So, right. Well, in order to tear down what came before, you have to know what that is. I think I always, you know, if I hear somebody playing and it's like, well, maybe they're not really well versed on the masters. Even if they're playing more in a modern sense, but you have to have the sense of that history.
Yeah.
To play around.
And I've already been criticized. I've already been criticized a few times for like, you know, not being original enough. And I'm okay with that. It's like, I had this review on Jazz Times of like my show at Winter Jazz Fest NYC, and they were just like, yeah, you know, her style. And he said it was funny when she concluded her set with a tune with an original composition that was written in tribute to McCoy Tyner for the OG, which is On Iron Starlet. And he was like, I was perplexed because up until that point I thought the entire set was in tribute to McCoy Tyner. And at first I thought that was a great compliment and I was like very pleased with that. But then he went on to say like the similarity is too striking. And I'm just thinking to myself, that is a super big compliment, but like, I wish I sounded that good, you know? And then he like ended it saying like, you know, as a musician, like she's promising, but still finding her way. And like, it was kind of like it's definitely not a negative way to end a review, but you know, when I get that kind of criticism, I just say to myself, like, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to change the world. I'm just trying to make good music, good jazz. So,
well, I can tell you in my early to mid 20s, I was barely waking up on time. So congratulations for having several albums under your belt at this point. And that's pretty.
Two. Or three? Three.
Yeah.
I consider it two technically because it's with Mac Avenue and Richard Rogers was like a kind of an experimental effort that was totally independent. But,
well, good. That makes me feel a little better. Yeah. I was.
Yeah.
Let me ask. So Iron Starlet, which is now the release date has been pushed back to June, due to the, you know, the where we find ourselves right now. But let's talk about Iron Starlet itself, the album. You have an amazing band behind you on this album. Can you talk about, you know, how you got these people together and what are your relationships with them musically?
Yeah. Well, first I'd like to say that this album wouldn't have been possible without my producer, Bill Wysaski, who played drums on the album and is also the musical director of the trio that we tour live regularly. That's our main live format. And it was a collaborative vision between us. He contributed about half of the creative effort compositionally and in arranging. And I contributed the other half where I just wrote original music because he's better at arranging than I am. And it's really great when you have this common aesthetic and shared vision about what we love the most about music. Like, what are the, like, I like to call them musical fetishes. Like, for example, in Iron Starlet, the musical fetish was the like 90s hard driving Take No Young Lions kind of vibe from the Black Codes era, you know. And we love Kenny and Tane. We also love Chicken Roy. We love the piano drum chemistry between all these different guys throughout the spectrum of like of jazz history, where it's like super tight, but then you can get super loose, but still within the groove and within the tradition. So we like share that philosophy about how to interact in a rhythm section. And, you know, we've known each other for like years and years, and he produced my last two albums too. So that shared history is really nice to have when you're working together to create a cohesive vision. So yeah, Bill's great. Couldn't have done this without him. Ivan Taylor, probably just the coolest cat as a person. And, you know, he has a sound that, you know, philosophically is kind of like Ron Carter. It just fills the room, but it's not like in your face, like, look at me. It's a presence that is like there, but as like as support. It's, I mean, to me, that's what the best of jazz bass is. Of course, you can have like the super lyrical, like John Patitucci types, Eddie Gomez types, which is great. And maybe I can explore that on future albums. But I love what Ivan does because it's in that vein of like Ron Carter, Paul Chambers, Jimmy Garrison, which, you know, is my job. And yeah, I met Ivan randomly through Facebook. It was really weird. I was looking up Mulgrew Miller videos, and Ivan was on them. He was like 18 years old. He was a baby. And I found him on Facebook and I was like, hey, just saw your video playing of, you know, If I Should Lose You with Mulgrew. And he was like, oh man, thanks. And like, we ended up playing together and he became part of the band. And it's been about a year and a half and he's been amazing to both me and Bill. And we tour with him all the time. Well, not now, not now, but he's great. Walter Smith III, to me, he is like one of the most complete musicians out there. Like, there is not a single hole in his musicianship. Like, he's so just, it's hard to describe. He doesn't have like any rhythmic, harmonic vocabulary deficiencies. He's just one of those special guys that I feel very fortunate to have on the album. He is a colleague of Bill's and they've been colleagues for a very long time. And I believe they worked together in Education and played quite a few gigs out here in LA. But, you know, having him is just amazing because he understands the thing about rhythm sections that I feel like not enough horn players understand, where you have to connect and interact with the rhythm section in the awareness a la Joe Henderson, which comes from Sonny Rollins. And it's like that school of like super loose tenor saxophone that, like, if you pair that with something like Elvin Jones, it can be like a really cool interactive thing versus the more like machine gun tenor of Johnny Griffin and like Michael Brecker. So that's what makes Walter so cool, in that he can do both. And I think you can hear that a lot. If not on the album, I think you can hear it on the album, but you can definitely hear it in all of his other work. So I love Walter. He's great. Jeremy Pelt. He's got an amazing sound, man. I mean, he's got that sound locked down. So he kind of, he has that fanfare going on in Iron Starlet, and it's really quite, he can bring the fire when he needs to, but he can also bring like the lyrical phrasing and sensitivity on some other things like Nova and Captain Song. And he's great too. Just great range. Mm-hmm. Really great.
Yeah, I was first listening to it. I'm going, man, who? Because I just started playing it, and I didn't look at any of the notes or whatever. I'm like, man, who is it? And I just narrowed down like, I have three or four cats who I thought it could be, and Jeremy Pelt was in there, and because he's just such a great technician, but still has a really good sound, I'm like, man, this is not trombone music, but it's pretty awesome. I enjoy listening to it.
Yeah, he brings that like raw, like, you know, like that swagger that I think jazz trumpet is known for, right? Like that swagger that, because Freddie Hubbard existed, now you have to have swagger.
That's right.
As a trumpet player, yeah, you know.
So, yeah, trumpet players didn't have enough swagger before Freddie, but now they're catching up now.
Oh, I mean, that's not true, but in that vein. Yeah.
Well, I look at your website, and I see all the, you're supposed to be where, like in Italy or France or England or, you know, you're going to be on a European tour through all this. How is, other than not touring and playing, how are you holding up with stay at home, sheltering in place stuff? Are you collaborating with people, working on new projects?
Well, it's been nice, because even though as a jazz musician, it is important to be social and open and be able to create chemistry with other players. I'm also an introverted workaholic, and this quarantine has been really nice for that workaholicism, because I love practicing that I didn't get to practice when I was on the road. And this was something I like realized really quickly when I started traveling, that like, you better have your together, because you're not going to have time to work on anything. And if you do, you're on the plane and you don't have an instrument in front of you. And I hope I can get to that point where I can arrive at my hotel and there's a piano there. That would be super dope. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll happen in the next few years, but it's been really great, because there were so many unfinished projects I have, because I'm always in like a learning mode where, like, even though I mean, I have to balance that, of course, with composition and arranging and developing my own vocabulary. But right now I've been studying a lot of different things, like Art Tatum. I've been transcribing a lot of him, Hank Jones, and actually revisiting a lot of classical repertoire. So I've actually been enjoying a lot of alone time. With that said, I do have like a quarantine concert coming up. Do I remember the name? It's on May 9th. I will put information up on my website, but like, I do have like a 30-minute set that will be made public by this festival that I think is also featuring like Vijay Iyer and Elu and Act for Music. Maybe I can look it up right now. I mean, I'm definitely participating in that, for example. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's been nice to just like work. I love working. It's something I really enjoy. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that it's working out. The forced vacation is working out for you. And
I mean, eventually I think it's gonna become a problem.
Yeah.
If this doesn't.
For sure. Yeah.
But in the immediate future, it's been nice to just reorient myself artistically, you know.
Well, I think once everything lifts, who knows when that's going to be, but hopefully we can all of us find that new balance. Like, oh, there's really great things about being forced to stay home and getting a chance to practice a lot and writing and recording. But it's also great to be out and with people and performing for people. So finding that balance would be really great. Really nice.
Yeah. It's definitely two sides of myself that are very, very extreme. You know, when I'm out, I'm really out there. And like, I really love to just connect, and I love connecting with my audience, and I love talking to my audience. And it's something I do miss, but you know, like I said, I don't think I said that I was a very extreme person, but like when I get introverted, I get really introverted. And when I get really extroverted, I get really extroverted. So right now I'm in kind of like this space where I'm able to just continue working. And to me, this will translate to even better work than Iron Star, at least in my view. Everyone has different opinions, obviously, of an artist's work. But like, to me, it translates to like what this will do for the next project.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, I think this is a very strong album, and I can't wait to see what you will come up with in the future. And I hope that anytime you want to just talk about music, player, or promote a new album you have, feel free to reach out to us. And thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Man, that was such a fun conversation with Connie.
It was, yeah. I mean, she is, she's a spectacular young lady who really seems to not really give a crap what anybody else says. She just wants to do her thing and pay homage to the history, and she's happy to do it.
Yeah, gotta respect her for that.
Yeah.
Mad props to her. And not only that, man, she's just a spectacular. She can back it up with her playing.
Definitely.
That's, that confidence is really cool. So,
I certainly cannot wait until the next album comes out.
Yes. For more information about Connie, you go to conniehan.com, conniehan.com. And there, there'll be information about her quarantine concert, which is coming up on May 9th. A little half-hour thing she mentioned during the interview. I just want to throw it in that she is a Steinway and Sons artist. She's a Steinway artist, people. Okay, that's big time. That's big time. And that's not a little upright over in the corner. That's a baby grand to a grand sitting in your room somewhere, which is pretty spectacular. The full release of this album, Iron Starlet, comes June 12th. So please check it out. Streaming services everywhere. And to end tonight's show, we're going to listen to a powerhouse of a tune. It's called Dark Chambers. So thank you to Connie Hahn for talking with Matthew and I. And here it is from her latest album. This is Dark Chambers. Thank you.
Have You Heard is recorded and produced by Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer in the studios of WICR. The theme music is by Brent Wallerab from the BWJO album, Mezzanine. Feel free to follow us on facebook.com/haveyouheardjazz and do join us next Wednesday for another exciting installment of Have You Heard.